Well, it's time for audience participation in Family Life Center, here in the Worship Center. How many of you have been mad in your life? Raise your hand. The rest of you are liars. I heard somebody say the other day that they just plain got redneck mad. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but some of you have experienced that before. So this morning I want to talk to you about the anger bomb. And then tonight I want to talk to you about staying sane in a crazy world. So turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. And also I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22. And then through the message, I'm going to give you several other scripture references you can just jot down. We won't have time to turn to all of them. But here Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 27, he says, "In your anger, do not sin. Let not the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold." Now, turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 29, verse 22. Proverbs 29, 22 says, "An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins." Several months ago, Delaney and I traveled to Cartersville on a date. What is a date? A date is usually a visit to Walmart, Kohl's, or Belk's. And then we might go to Cracker Barrel for lunch. As we drove into the parking lot where there was a Belk's and a Kohl's, she had one thing that she needed to do. I mean, the skies opened up and we had a flooding rain that started. So I thought the courteous thing to do as a husband is to drive her up to the curb, let her out under the covered sidewalk, then park my vehicle in the parking lot. So I gave a turn signal to pull over into the fire lane, put on my emergency flashers. She opened the door, and about the time she opened the door on this side, a pickup pulled up next to me going this way. And I want you to know that the guy on the passenger side rolled down the window and crawled out of that window waist high to my driver's side window, began pointing and shouting profanities at me for pulling over. Not long ago, I turned on television and I saw on the national news two men had a minor automobile accident in New York. And I want you to know that one of the drivers got out of his car, pulled the other driver out of his car, and beat him all the way into the pavement. Harvard research has concluded this: anger is a boiling sun that's burning hotter over our modern society than ever before. 60% of the homicides in America are committed by angry family members. I want us to look at this subject of anger today from Ephesians and Proverbs. And first of all, I want to show you the various forms of anger, beginning with Proverbs 14, verse 17. Proverbs 14:17 says, "A quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated." The first kind of anger I want you to write down is that which is a short fuse. That describes the kind of anger where a person is quick-tempered, and I want you to know they do foolish things. And it also says here that a crafty man is hated. One kind of anger is short fuse. I mean, that's the person who just flies off the handle just like that. Cain in your Bible, if you go back in the Old Testament, Cain was a man who felt like God did not honor his offerings, so he let his temper fly and he killed his brother Abel because he had brought the proper offering. I think Cain was angry at God, and then he showed that anger by taking his brother's life. Will Rogers combined a little wisdom and a little humor, and here's what he said. He said that people who fly off into a rage seldom have a good landing. I like that. Then there's the tea kettle kind of anger. I don't know how many of you still use a tea kettle, but I remember when I first saw one, Mom would put water in the tea kettle, and it took absolutely forever to boil. But when it did, all of a sudden there was steam coming out the spout, and you heard this whistling sound all around. Listen, there's some people that have tea kettle anger. There's anger, bitterness, envy, resentment that is coming to the boil on the inside over a long period of time, and then it erupts like a volcano. Then there's my day in court kind of anger. Those are the people that think they have the right to tee off on you at any time about anything. Those are the people that cut you off in traffic. Those are the people that are arguing with a store clerk. Those are the people that are in your church that think they deserve a certain position of ministry, and if they don't get it, they cause division in the church and the shrapnel gets all over everybody. Those are the people that think that they have a right to tee off on you, and their right to be angry of you is always righteous indignation. Heard about a 10-year-old boy? He's out on the playground. Another 10-year-old boy came up and threw him down in the mud. I mean, just covered the little boy with mud. So the little boy that got shoved down, he got up and was going to whip the other kid. And his mother happened to be there that day. She grabbed him and said, "Come with me, son." So the kid that was covered with mud, she took him inside and cleaned him up real good. And she said, "Now listen, son." She said, "We're Christians. And you are not supposed to retaliate against this kid that put you in the mud. Remember this, son. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord." He said, "All right, Mama. God's got till Saturday to take care of this." I like that. We know some people like that. Now listen, there are many other forms of anger. And I want you to talk about vicious anger that is unacceptable. Notice he says, "Be angry and sin not." There's a type of anger that is wicked, that is horrible, that is hurtful, that is hateful, that is hellish. And this type of anger is condemned in the Word of God. So the question is, what is sinful anger? First of all, sinful anger is anger that is misinformed. Now, what do I mean by that? Anger is sinful if you're angry at another person, but you really don't know why. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus said, "Whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in anger of hellfire." Have you ever had an argument with your family, a friend, or a coworker, or another person? After a certain amount of time passed you by, you can't even remember what you were arguing about. That's misinformed anger. Another kind of sinful anger is misdirected anger. Anger is always to be directed towards a problem and never towards a person. We can be angry at the sin. We're to love the sinner. But there's a difference between being angry with a person over what they've done and being angry with a person regardless of what they're done. So anger is to be directed toward the sin, not the sinner. Sinful anger is misused. If your anger brings you to the point that you want to get even with somebody, then it's sinful. If your anger brings you to the point where you want to do some harm to another person, then it's sin. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.'" Sinful anger is mistimed. The Bible specifically says that all anger is to have a limit. He says here, "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." My grandmother, before I got married, she told me, says, "When you go to bed at night, don't you ever be mad with your wife." Now, I don't think my grandmother and grandfather ever got angry about anything with each other. They just didn't ever talk. My grandfather was from the day when men were men. If he wanted a brand new Ford, he went to work that morning to his store, and that afternoon he drove in with a brand new Ford. He didn't ask anybody about anything. And whatever he did was just fine with her. When he was there, she did what he wanted to do. When he was gone, she did what she wanted to do. And everything was wonderful. So you got to be very, very careful. Sinful anger, listen, is mistimed. Charles Spurgeon said, I have no more right as a Christian to allow a bad temper to dwell in me than I have to allow the devil himself to dwell in me. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 27. It says, nor give place to the devil. You're never to make any part of your heart a living room for the devil. That's what anger does. Verse 31 says, it gives us a chain reaction of the explosion of a lost temper. He says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice or with all hatred. So the first stage there in that mistimed anger is bitterness. That bitterness is singing that song, somebody's done me wrong song. Hebrews 12:15 talks about the root of bitterness. When you allow the root of bitterness to grow inside you, it's going to come forth as anger. The word wrath there comes from a Greek word that means to burn. It means to slow burn. That's that raging fire that's going to come forth. If the wrath is not checked, it will then turn into anger. Anger then turns into clamor. What in the world is clamoring? Loud talking. On Booger Holler Road, they call that hollering. I don't know how you spell that, but that's what it is. Have you ever been in a conversation with a family member or your wife or your husband, and you've listened long enough, and you say, well, you don't have to yell at me. And they say, I'm not yelling at you. Has that ever happened to you? We got to be careful about mistimed anger. The next thing I want you to see is the virtuous anger is approved. Be angry and do not sin in Ephesians 4:26. That tells me immediately there's a difference between anger and sinful anger. It's possible to be angry and yet not sin because all anger is not sin. Have you ever heard the expression, good and angry? You know, he's good and angry. Oh boy, is he really good and angry? Well, the Bible teaches it's possible to be both good and angry. I like what Aristotle said. He said, anybody can become angry. That's easy. But to be angry with the right person, for the right reason, at the right time, to the right degree, and for the right purpose, and in the right way, that is not within everybody's power and is not easy. Now listen to me carefully. Anger is a God-given emotion. When fire is used correctly, it can warm your home. It can cook your meals. I want you to know that when fire is used correctly, it can be productive. But as we've seen out west this year, even a small fire that starts can quickly rage out of control and do great destruction. If your house caught on fire and you call the fire department, you wouldn't want the fire department to fight fire with fire. Well, look, guys, the left half of my house is already on fire. Why don't you just build a backfire over here on the right side? Let it come together so it'll finally burn out. No, you want them to fight fire with what? Fight it with water or some chemical that will retard the flame. Listen very carefully here. Proverbs teaches us that a soft answer will diffuse anger. Now, there are at least three different occasions that we find in Scripture concerning Jesus where he was angry and without sin. Now, I want you to write this down quickly. Mark 3:1-5. Mark 3:1-5. Remember, Jesus was angry with people with hard hearts. He was there near the temple one day. There was a man there with a withered hand. It was a Sabbath day, and the religious leaders of that day, the Jewish leaders, Sadducees, Pharisees, they wanted to see if Christ would perform a miracle on the Sabbath day. Because if he did, they were going to accuse him of breaking the Sabbath. But I want you to know that Jesus healed a man with the withered hand. You see, Jesus got angry, write this down, with people who had hard hearts. These religious leaders didn't care one whit in the world that this man could not use his hand. Jesus taught that it's always good to do good for people on all occasions. Jesus was angry with people who had haughty hearts. Remember, people began bringing children to Jesus in Mark chapter 10, verse 13 through 16. Disciples came along, tried to shoo them off. Jesus looked back and he said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. Verse 14 says the word displeased him. That literally means with great indignation, with great anger. Jesus was angry because his disciples thought he ought to hang out with people who could work to Jesus' benefit rather than children who could bring nothing materially or productively into his presence. He got angry. Here's the other thing you want to write down. He got angry with hypocritical hearts. Mark 11, 15 through 18. Remember, Jesus came to Jerusalem. He went into the temple. What happened? There were the religious leaders. Instead of a house of worship and a house of prayer, they had turned this into a marketplace. They had doves there on tables. And when poor people would come and they did not have their sacrifice, they would have to buy their doves from the religious leaders there in the temple at a hyperinflated price. Then when they came to change money, there were money changers there, and they were cheating the people when they came, when they changed the money for the offerings. And Jesus was outraged, and he turned the tables over and ran these charlatans, these religious leaders, out of the temple. He did not sin. That's probably the most famous story about Jesus and anger. You see, these people were more concerned about gold than God. They were more concerned about silver than they were souls. Now listen to me very carefully. One reason we're in the state we're in our nation right now is because Christians simply roll over. We think we're not supposed to retaliate. There is righteous indignation. Do you know why we do not have prayer in public schools now? Because Christians did not get angry, righteous indignation, and stand up. Do you know why we can't have Bibles in school now? Because Christians have not stood up. I had a nice teacher who goes to our church who saw me last week at a school. Said the Gideons have left us Bibles, and we're not allowed in the school system to hand them out. Could you take these for Samaritan's Purse and make sure they get in those boxes that we can ship to children? Isn't that sad? Do you know why it's like that? Because we Christians haven't gotten angry and done something about it. Now, here's what goes on in America. Listen to me. All this political correctness and the liberal agenda. You know, I got a letter yesterday in the mail from somebody in another state. In another part of the state. I don't know them. They know I'm involved in a certain Christian endeavor. And they sent me a letter about how everything ought to be marked by love, and it ought to be marked by tolerance. And this thing was 2.5 pages long. It's lying in the bottom of my trash can now. Political correctness says Jesus taught love only. You see the three snapshots I just gave of you, Jesus, from the book of Mark? Jesus never instructed us to love and forsake truth. For example, you ought to be angry at the abortionists and the abortion supporters in our nation. You ought to be angry with President Obama and Congress because they won't do anything about using your tax dollars and mine to kill babies through Planned Parenthood. We ought to be angry and rise up that they're selling baby parts to researchers with procedures they're performing with yours and my taxpayer dollars. We ought to be angry at a sex-crazed, profane-filled movie industry that poisons the minds of our kids. And yes, you adults allow it to poison yours in the name of entertainment. There's a market out here for clean movies. War Room was number one on all the charts in sales the first 3 or 4 weeks. It hit the market. We ought to be angry. We ought to be angry over illegal drug trade. You know, I saw more outrage in the Rome News over Shorter College being returned by the Georgia Supreme Court to the control of the Georgia Baptist Convention than I've seen on gang-related activities in our county. I saw more negative in the Rome News from people here in Rome about the faith statement, where you're supposed to abstain from alcohol publicly. You're not to be, if you teach it shorter, you're not supposed to be involved in alternative lifestyles nor condone it. You're supposed to be a born-again believer, and you're supposed to be active in a local church. Let me ask you a question. If you're sending your kid to a Christian school, who do you want teaching your kids? There's more anger over that than illegal drug trade in our town. What does that say about Rome, Georgia? What does that say about Christians in Rome, Georgia? Now we have states legalizing marijuana. We already have a DUI problem. Now we're going to have people high on drugs and marijuana and things like that. One day it will be legal in Georgia in our lifetime. And our politicians say we might as well tax it and get the revenue. Well, those people who tax it and legalize it, I don't wish anything bad happening to anybody. But they just need one of their family members to get killed by a drunk driver or somebody on drugs. And you come back and tell me how that vote is working for you now. We're in the condition we're in because Christians remain silent. Because the politically correct has told us Christians need to shut up. How sad. We need to be victorious over anger. Look at this. He says in Proverbs 16:32, he says, some people say, I just can't control it. That's not true. Proverbs 16:32 says, he who is slow to anger is better than the might, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a whole city. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is ruler over your human spirit. And Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. You can control your temper. You say, oh, I can't. Yeah, you can. You've done it before. You ever been arguing with your children, parents, and all of a sudden your smartphone goes off? And you look on there, I mean, you're in a fit of rage. You're just hollering at them and everything. And you look on there and you look at your caller ID on your smartphone. Oh, it's one of your best buds. You know, you answer, hey, how you doing? We're so blessed over here at our house. And you just threw the switch on two of your children. Capital punishment. You can control your anger. You can turn it off and on. First of all, you need to address it. Realize exactly what is happening the moment your temper rears its ugly head. And before you lose your temper, and by the way, we don't lose our temper. We actually find it. Do y'all know what I'm saying? We don't lose our temper. We go out and find it. Remember what God says about a quick temper. He says in Proverbs 14:17, who is quick-tempered always acts foolishly. A man of wicked intentions is hated. The Bible says a quick temper is divisive. A wrathful man stirs up strife. But he who is slow to anger allays contention. Proverbs 15:18. You show me a person who's quick-tempered, who flies off the handle over the least little things, and I'll show you a person who stays in a fight, fuss, feud. You know what happens? They lose their wives. They lose their husbands. They lose their children. They lose their jobs. And on it goes. First of all, address it. Second thing, confess it. When you get angry, don't hide it. You need to confess it to God. He already knows it. And I'll tell you something else. Somebody that you truly trust, you need to confess it to them. I got an issue going on in a family situation right now. And I don't mind to tell you, I've been angry. But you know what? I've asked for forgiveness of that and trying to move on from it. But still, when you talk to me about that situation, I don't get headaches, but I get one of the worst headaches in the whole wide world. But I went to Delaney and I said, you know, I've been angry, but I'm past angry now. I said, there's resentment there. And that's not right either. I said, I've got to work through that because I'm not that person's God. That person doesn't answer to me. If they want to jump off a bridge, jump. You need to address it. And you need to admit it to the Lord and somebody you know. And the last thing I want to tell you is you need to control it. Limit the duration of your anger. He says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know what that means, husband and wife? You ever get hysterical in your marriage? It's all right if you get hysterical every now and then. Just don't get historical. Women have long memories. I'm just being honest. Is that right, ladies? Can't you remember so much better than men? I don't remember things long. You know, sometimes there are people approaching us and, you know, a couple looks about 40 years old. I said, Delaney, did I do their wedding? Yes, you did. Somebody came up to me in the Welcome Center the other day and said, you know, we did so-and-so's funeral about 10 years ago. Can you tell me what cemetery we buried her in? I said, no, I can't. But if you'll call Henderson's, they handle the arrangements. They have everything written down. I just can't remember. And I want to tell you what, I enjoy it. Because if Delaney ever gets historical, I say, darling, I don't remember any of that. And my message is actually, I forgot it, so why don't you? Isn't that terrible? I don't say it that way, but I just can't remember anything anymore. And it's just a great place to live. I'll tell you something else. You can't control the tone of another person's voice. Proverbs tells us if you shout at somebody, more than likely they're going to do what? They're going to shout back. You know, if I look at you and I say, you're probably the sorriest piece of humanity I've ever looked at on the face of this earth. What do you want to do? You're going to retaliate. And if I shout that at you, you're probably not only going to shout back, you may physically retaliate. And I don't recommend that with me. Because I can outrun you. I'll promise you that. How bad is anger? I'm talking about the sinful anger. I was reading the other day a story from 2 years ago. There's two brothers that lived together, true story, in Dallas, Texas. One named Donald and one named Jerry. Donald and Jerry Berry. They got into an argument one night. They were living in the same home in Dallas. It was the middle of the winter. Jerry got mad and bolted out the front door and walked to town. His brother Donald was in a wheelchair. He's a paraplegic. Donald kept hoping his brother would come back home that night, but he didn't. They had one of the worst arguments they'd ever had, his brothers. Donald wheeled himself out on the front porch to just go get a little air, shut the door, locked himself out of the house. He thought, perhaps I've left the back door unlocked. So he wheeled himself down the wheelchair ramp, around the back of the house. No ramp in the back of the house. He decided he would crawl out of his wheelchair up the steps of the back porch to try to get to the door. He only made it to the steps. The next day, Donald was found on the back steps, dead. He died from hypothermia because it was 10 degrees that night in Dallas, Texas. During that same night, Jerry decided to come back home after Donald had gone to the back. When Jerry got to the front door, he turned the knob. It was locked. He didn't have a key. He said, "My brother's mad and he's locked me out." So Jerry sat down on the front porch and spent the rest of the night. The next morning, he had to be rushed to Parkview Hospital in Dallas. And because of frostbite, both of his hands had to be cut off at the wrist. Just because two brothers got mad at each other, one died, and the other's going to live the rest of his life without any hands. When's the last time you got really sinfully angry? Was it on the way to church? Was it last night? Was it yesterday? Why are you angry? Maybe that's another question you need to ask. What made you angry? How did you handle your anger? I want to encourage you to do something. Beware, the anger bomb is going to strike. Either with you or a stranger or somebody you know. I'm just going to encourage you to handle it the Bible way. Will you stand right where you are in both buildings, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.